Morning, guys. Welcome to another episode. It is now Friday. Oh, man. Thank God. TGIF. I'm going to work Saturday just because trying to get some. We're going to have a few couple weeks off, which would be great. Kind of can focus in a little bit more on the podcast and just take a break, kind of relax, you know. Get ready for the holidays. Hope you guys are getting ready for the holidays and New Year's and whatnot. I hope you guys had a great year. If you had a bad year, hope we're going to close out strong and start a new year. I don't know if you guys are into it, but I'm going to, I was messing with Webull and whatnot. If you guys are kind of on the fence about trading and or don't know how to trade and, you know, would want some guidance, we can kind of do it together. I've done it before and made a few bucks during the whole GameStop and AMC Gorilla thing, short sell. So what I'm going to do is I downloaded Webull, and what they have on there is a section that's called paper trading, okay? And they allot you, you know, whatever you want to do, but the max they allot you is $1 million, okay? So you can play with $1 million of fake money and trade, and you can do straight up trades, you can do option trades. The only thing they don't let you do is the only thing they don't let you do in the paper trading is short sell. So some of those that you don't know what short selling is, just pretty much betting against the stock and its price right then and there. So if the price is $43 a share, you're expecting that thing to go down to say $38. Okay. Now during the midst of that 30, so what you would do is you would sell shares at $43, and then anything that went above the 43 you would lose, and anything that goes below the 43 you would start gaining a profit. So that's the whole basics in a nutshell with short selling. You pretty much just betting against the company, and there's a lot of people that trade in a short sell type of strategy. Now there's options. I haven't really figured it out. I feel like I have a little bit. I know a little bit about a little bit, and that's pretty much just, you know, if there's a contract for December 15th, say today. You know, those contracts can be 7 days, 24 days, 62 days, whatever your price is and you want to buy it at. Now, the thing is you ain't going to, when you do an option trade, you ain't going to be buying the stock for face value. There's an underlining value the trade is fined on, okay? Now, when the decimal point is behind the first and second number is 8, and the first number is 0, and then the decimal point, you're looking at like at $18. If it's over in the 100, the 100 spot, I think the 10-100s, the 100s, the thousands. I forget how it goes, but I think I seen it was 0-1. That was about $100 when I started buying, like, say, Google, because Google's actually $1,000 in and around $1,000 a share. So it really becomes affordable in the options, but on the downside, you could really lose a lot of money. But, I mean, you know, now, hear me out. You can lose a lot of money, but you can also sell that thing right away. So if you keep your eyes open, yeah, you can lose a few bucks, but, a tolerance that you're all right to lose. You don't mind losing that money. You got a risk tolerance level of saying, hey, you know, I'm going to put in 500. I'm willing to lose 300 of this or 50% of my investment before I'm ready to close. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, understand the stock market is a gamble, but there's things like compounding interest, and you don't have to trade just regular stocks. You could trade in mutual funds, ETFs, crypto, all that stuff. So anyway, I'm not going to go on a whole long tangent. I just wanted to say that I'm going to start out that, and I'm going to be using Webull on the paper trading. If you guys want to get involved, we can do it together. I'll lay out some questions. If you got questions, we can answer them together. Because what I'd like to do is trade in options this time around, because your windfall is so much more. Because they'll show you the impaired volume or the expected volume of what you're willing to make. And some of that is 100%. So during the last few days, I've been playing with the paper trade and just trying to get a little hold on the options pot. And I've been realistic with the numbers. So I would invest $1,500. So I invested $900 in an options. And that was in Sundial. Now, that's a marijuana company that I dealt with before 2 years ago. So during the pandemic, that's when I started getting into the stocks. So I started getting to Sundial again, and I bought an option. And I think I put in $250. I made 200% in 5 minutes. Now, I'm not a stupido. You gotta understand, that's a paper trading. That's a system that they can manipulate. Those numbers might not all be the real. If you were to do the math, if you do the real math and those numbers come out, that is true blue Holyfield, okay? Or you can go on a Charles. You know, those are real contracts, real time. They might be back. Say there might be a 5 minute overlaps, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. So even if it wasn't a whole 200% and it was 100%, I made my money back. I just made $500 in within a couple hours, and I can back out of that. Because we will let you do three trades in one day. Now the only thing I wonder, when you buy a contract, you get it's 100 shares. So if you buy one quantity, that's 100 shares. You're buying 100 shares right off the rip. It is a contract for, say, December 15th. Now, if it's going above the contract, if it's going above the price that you started when you bought the option, I don't know if you're able to sell that at a moment's notice. I don't know if you have to wait until the 15th till the contract is totally up before you can sell it, or if you can sell it beforehand. I don't know how that's the one little caveat I don't know, and I'm trying to figure out is that, you know, do I have to wait till the 15th before I can sell? You know, so it was up 250%. So I'm like, holy shit, you know, that would be great. I'd be making, you know, I put in 250. I just made 500. I just made 250. I mean, shit, I'm going to take it out. Could I sell that, or do I have to wait until the date of the contract ends? So, but I guess if you're the buyer, I think the seller has that right. And so once you buy them and you're the seller, you have that right. So I think it's a yes. I'm just totally not sure. So anyway, moving forward, guys, there is a bombshell I want to tell you. And we're going to get to it later, but I'm telling you, like, if you don't know what the smoking, and this has to do with Hunter, Joe, Burisma, videotapes, audio tapes, I mean, more audio, and it's a bombshell. And it's not just one or two or three, there's 15 of them. 15 record, 15, yeah, so we'll get into that in a little bit, but what I wanted to talk about is that, you know, we have a police state coming. We obviously know that. There's a two-tier justice system in our country. So I'm just going to play you a quick clip on how AOC is just totally animated here, and how she thinks that the more animated she gets, she's going to be able to persuade you into believe that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden are not both complicit in all of their dealings domestically and across seas that have to deal with fraud, selling our country down the river. And I just want you to check this out, and you just see how she gets animated and how she everything in how politics is and how to persuade you and sway you in all your decisions. Check this out.
Not only is the committee not allowing Hunter Biden to testify publicly, but they have not called a single witness, a single first-hand witness to any of their allegations. They haven't allowed anybody to testify publicly because they do not have a single witness to any of their alleged allegations. They don't.
So as that clip shows, we can see that we're starting to see, and we're starting to establish that, and you can see that through, you know, Trump versus Biden. You could see that with you know, Peter Navarro, when he was thrown in jail for not going to his congressional hearing, pretty much just skipped out on it. But he didn't do a press conference in the end. He fielded questions from several media outlets. It's not like he was hiding. But the golden child of that of Hunter, he can go at 8 o'clock and do a presser in front of the Congress, talk all this shit, say how he's getting prosecuted publicly through some kind of vendetta via the MAGA people, which is a downright lie. If anybody's been the target, it's been Trump and Trump's family and associates since day one of your father's presidency. But the day of the dog for your father is coming, and the day of the dog is coming for you. Karma is right around the corner, Hunter, and I hope you are prepared for every single moment of. Now, a lot of people didn't know this day was going to come true, and that's why, you know, we can't listen to the media, even Republicans. I listen to Howie Carr, I listen to Dan Bongino, Tucker, I listen to PBD podcast. So, you know, a lot of these people did not think that this was ever going to occur, that any of the Bidens would see an investigation or an impeachment hearing. And that's starting to bear fruit. That is really starting to come to be a cold, hard reality for the Bidens, and a happy one for the Republicans at that. The more we go down this road, the more we expose the Democrats. There's people still out there that don't believe or haven't even heard, believe it or not, haven't even heard that Joe Biden has did any wrongdoing anywhere at any time. And that's even through Jesse Waters' mother, she listens to, she listens to some outlet, I forget. And he was talking, and he goes, you know, my mother doesn't know anything about Joe Biden, you know, and what he's done wrong. You know what I mean? And she goes, because she stays in this bubble, you know, and if you stay in that bubble, you're not going to find anything out. And that's why I think we all as Americans should stay lucid and be able to listen to both sides of the coin and distinguish the truth out of that. So the more we expose him, the better it is for us. Now Hunter is in the front of the Congress at 8 a.m. Has to be in court at 9 o'clock. After he's done with the presser, he turns around and flips the fucking bird to Congress, pretty much. Doesn't appear at a congressional hearing. Doesn't even field one question from the reporters. And he says that he's the only one, him and his family are getting targeted because they want to sink his father's presidency. Well, here's a newsflash, Hunter. As you and well as I and everybody else know, your father cannot put a complete sentence together for the life of him. My son can talk better than him. My son can stand up straight on his own two feet better than your father. Okay, and if nobody wants to accept the cold hard reality that this man is old and he is getting abused by his wife, handlers, and so many other people, is just beyond the pale. I mean, I don't understand it. Like, why would you keep forcing this guy to do these long flights and jet lag trips? I mean, do you know how much? I mean, good God. I mean, it's desperation. How do these people love power and ugh? It's so disgusting. It really is. It really is. And then, you know, the people in this candidacy, we got KJP, Career Jean-Pierre. This lady is just happy to be the first African-American gay public secretary. Like, that is some big achievement. Like, I don't care if you're black. Democrats care if you're black. because it's the first of this, and they want to market you. They want to pander to you. Because at the end of the day, they think that you need to be handed everything. You can't make it on your own. You know what I mean? And so she sits up there with an air of arrogancy. She wouldn't help out her fellow African American man or woman if she had. She don't care. She cares about herself. You think she would help any kind of African American out? I don't think so. And the only way that gets exposed is just if you listen to her.
In the last 24 hours, 10,000 illegal border crossings in Southwest border. Would you admit that the border policy, the line border policy so far, is not working?
What I will say is that we have known for decades, that the immigration policy is, the immigration system is broken. You've said that over and over again. That has been Republican administration and Democrat administration. That is not unheard of. That is what we have seen for the past couple of decades.
The end of the world is near. The end of the world is near. You know, I don't know what's going on. It seems like it's, you know, the end of the turn in the new millennium again. And we're going to get a virus upon a virus. We're all going to die. The Mayan calendar says it. You know, remember that? It was like all about the Mayans now. Now it's all about, you know, as far as the Democrats are concerned, right? When they want to, like, sing somebody, and they know that Joe Biden, I mean, he's at his lowest poll ever, all right? And it's, yeah, Joe Biden is at his lowest poll ever. Fucking, you know what I mean? The shit.
Shit is getting annoying for real.
Good here, Jean-Pierre. So we have a border that's out of control, as we know. I mean, out of control. So just to put it in quick perspectives, when President Bush was in office, not senior, but the young one, what the hell was it? We had about 10 million illegals in our country. Okay, and we were getting probably, I'd say there was like maybe about, sometimes there was maybe a 500 coming in a day, a couple hundred a day, you know, it wasn't like we're seeing now, okay? So we had about, today we estimated about between 10 to 11 million people in our country that are illegal from Mexico, and that was around 2001, 2002. But we have coming across the border in the number that we have, we're looking at anywhere from 2001, mind you, from 2001 till now, we have probably, added another, I'd say, 9 million, another 12 million. Two or three of that million has come in the last 2 to 3 years. The border is seeing anywhere. I just said that sometimes we were seeing around 200 to 300 people. That's a lot of people. We're seeing anywhere excess of 10,000 a day. 10,000 people a day. You're getting a stadium full every week. Every week you've got a stadium. They just packed the TD center for migrants crossing the border in 24 hours. In 48 hours, they would pack that venue. I think there's about 15 to 18,000 seats. They packed that venue in 48 hours with migrants to cross the border in 48 hours. That is an insane amount of people. And mind you, we got to take care of them. So if it's costing the taxpayer in Massachusetts, in Taunton, to put up migrants in a hotel to feed, clothe, and bathe them and give them shelter, it costs the American people a lot of money. And you might hear me say, oh, it's a lot of money. I don't think you guys actually understand. It's $455 billion. That's half of what we spend on our defense budget. The defense budget just passed. It was $765 billion. We pay $455 billion to take care of migrants that are not illegal people in our country, and we pay $455 billion annually. The defense budget lasts us, I think it's for, I want to say like a couple of years. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's a yearly thing, but I mean, we pass a budget, sometimes it's close to $1 trillion. You know, and that's our budget for the next year, I think. So half of our budget goes right to, holy shit, I can't see a fucking thing. Wow, I couldn't see a thing, dude. Holy shit. Where's my fucking... Where's my defense card? My fogs. Something. Give me something. Jesus. I can't see a goddamn thing. Anyway, that's half of our budget. And some. And it's like, you gotta be shitting me, bro. You gotta be shitting. You gotta be shitting. And this is what Biden wants. This is what the Democrats want. This is what they want. What happened to yesterday when we talked about common sense? What the fuck? I mean, seriously. You know, so let's listen to KGB give us an explanation that is just totally, totally fucking useless and disrespectful to people that want answers, and they're beholden to us. Yes, unfortunately you are, and you're smug about it, and you people don't do nothing. And now the media, for some reason, wants to ask questions because they know Biden's a sinking ship. So they're like, hey, you know what? He's gonna be gone. This shit's starting to break wide open. So now we're not acting like we're on your side no more. Now they're gonna eat each other. And here comes its feast of famine now. Like I said, feast of famine. Let's check out KGP. Give her a feast of famine explanation. This is a ride.
You laid that out in your question of a comprehensive immigration reform plan. He did that on day one, and it is going on 3 years. And we have regular conversations with congressional leaders and congressional staff about an array of issues, including this. I mean, this is, you cannot send a bigger message to Congress and the American people when you say when you put out your first piece of legislation is on this issue, is on reforming immigration, right? It's on fixing.
Flat when you spend very little public time as president talking about the issue, meeting with congressional leaders on the issue specifically, or doing anything else other than having you come out here and say, we issued a bill on day one.
I disagree.
She's horrible at a job, and the only reason, you know, people say that she's gotten that job is because, one, she's a lesbian, two, she's black, and that's that, okay? Because before her was Peppermint Patty, I fucking forget her name, Jenna Pinsky, I forget her name right now, So they gave KGP the job. She was really, really bad in the beginning. She's kind of ironed it out, but she doesn't answer any questions. She's hard. She's hard nosed. She deflects any which way. She knows in the heart of her hearts that the presidency's fucked, but she knows she's got a good job. So what she do? She just toes the line, stays with she stays in her lane, plays her position, and takes the heat. Now, a press secretary is a very, very big job. But the thing is I just want to get is that the Democrats just feel way, way, way above everybody. They got an air of arrogancy that I can't stand. You know, and then you got some people like AOC that come in on the scene, like a trailblazer, you know what I mean? Like, she's laying down these legendary routes. She walked in the Bronx and in some balloon-type sneakers, and, you know, they were, like, falling off her feet, and now they're in, like, a museum because that's how many doors she knocked on, and she wanted to connect with the people, and this was a grassroots movement. You know, real champion of the people. Right? So she's fighting this job to fight for people. She gets the job, and then she's fucking bitching that now she knows that she's gonna have to go to Washington, and she's gonna have to go to her home state, back to New York. So she's gonna have to travel, and she's gonna have to find some room and board. So she gets her job, she wins election, she's saying, yeah, this is all about the people, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to, you know, get the Bronx or Brooklyn, you know, motivated, going again, and she's, like, ready to strike. And the first thing what she do, she strikes down, like, 200,000 jobs for that city in one swoop when Amazon wanted to move to New York and build a fulfillment center. She put the she just puts the kibosh on everything. So now she's saying that she's all about the people, but she ain't gonna act like she don't know about the bombshell that I'm fitting to tell you guys about. So just stay tuned. She acts like she can't get any access to that, or she doesn't know a senator or somebody in the realm that could see the redacted version of this document that would to me is the smoking gun on everything. Just a quick example of double standard when the Democrats want somebody, you know, investigated or convicted for doing the same things that he or his son is guilty of doing, it's a totally different story. But let's check out Joe Biden back in the day. Check this clip.
Congressional subpoenas on the January 6th committee.
I hope that the committee goes after them and hold them accountable.
Do they be prosecuted by the Justice Department?
Yeah.
Now I want to show you a clip of a character that you might get familiar with and you'll hear throughout an investigation. Is the name Tony Bobulinski. This is not a character name, it's a real name by a real gentleman that owns a business, and he's going to tell you what a CEO does and what a figurehead does. Now, when you're if I'm sitting down and I work for a high-priced person and I'm trying to sell what we got, the goods, right, and I say, hey, you know our company, we do really good, my CEO, he's on point, he's got his hands on everything, he's fantastic, yeah, I know, I'd love to meet him. Well, then he'd come over to the table and shake hands and say, hey, how you doing, nice to meet you, da 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 da. But I'm going to sell the scheme, you know, he's just sitting there to be more of a representative, he's sort of my consigliere, if you will, if you know about mafia.
Biden family, because as you know, it's been well documented, you well documented it, but I met with Joe multiple times.
Yes.
And now, subsequent to the election, he's now the sitting president of the United States, but there are hundreds of data points that Joe Biden was acting in a capitalistic term, I would say, the chairman. The chairman of JP Morgan doesn't take 8 meetings down with the people, you know, analyzing companies. The chairman serves a purpose, right? He's a figurehead. He shows up in meetings, shakes hands, advises, you know, has faith in his team. Effectively, that was Joe Biden's role in the Biden family business ventures and around the world. Not just my venture. I met with him multiple times.
So as they go on and they try to sing Trump's chances for re-election, which they can't. I mean, it's too strong. I mean, I mean, if you don't see a difference now, I can't. Nobody could paint it any clearer for you. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I always say this, I don't have no skin in the game. So, but I'll tell you this, common sense I talk about. And for me, common sense shows me that I was doing better under the guy that was Agent Orange, better than the guy that eats meat, oatmeal out of a fucking straw. So for me, it's a no-brainer. And I'll tell you this, if Biden was doing better than Trump was doing when he was in office, I would say, hey, let's go for Joe again. I mean, it's just how whoever's going to do better for the American people. You know, they're a tool. They're a means to an end. And that's what you'll see from the difference of these people. You'll see people that say, hey, you know, just because I'm rich, I can still, you know, clean up the leaves in my yard. Just because I'm rich, I can still drive myself to the airport. Just because I'm rich, I can still sit in an economy. Do you know what I mean? It's all about the person in itself. Like I said, star people, they gotta love money. You gotta really love money. If money had a hole for men, or if money was a stiff rod for women, they'd be on it. It's just that kind of game. So the Doomsday Book is coming out. Barack Obama is directing, you know, end of the day scenarios. So, you know, directors of movies will reach out and they'll ask people that were in the Secret Service or the Feds or even, you know, local level PD to give them pointers in what they can release as far as how they can make their actors a little bit more sharper, give it a bit more realistic tone. So a director that reaches out to Barack and says, hey, you know, can you give us, I'm sure he's something towards the fact of, you know, can you give us some pointers on how the government might enact a doomsday scenario and what's the steps towards that without giving us the whole thing? And we can, you know, and of course Hollywood's going to embellish it and give it a little bit more theatrics, of course. So, what the fuck's this guy doing? This guy's using his left and his right directional. I don't get it. So anyway, the Doomsday Book is coming out. There's a Doomsday Book inside the government, supposedly. Now, what it says is there's rules, you know, and what constitutes, a doomsday scenario to where the president will be able to assume these powers and consolidate certain things to be able to, you know, unilaterally, I can't even say it right now. Do shit on his own without having to go through Congress and passing laws and shit like that. So unilaterally, I can't even do it. So that's how it goes. Now, the Democrats, right, want to put this, because they know that they're losing, so they want to put this fear. Now, it's like, hey, look, you know, to be honest with you guys, like, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm surprised they haven't shot him yet, okay? And that's just the bare truth of it, okay? If Trump was to be somewhere in the 80s and 90s, like Reagan, I'm sure there would have been more possibilities of him eating a bullet. The thing is, so they've already tried to assassinate him, not in the conventional sense of like, boom, you're dead with a gun. It's more or less like, let's kill his bank account. Let's kill his credibility. Let's kill his decency. Let's try to break his marriage. Let's try to just annihilate him in every other way possible. Okay? Let's, you know, see if we can get him. I messed up on my edit guys, but here's Bill Hammer just going to show you exactly how much court dates that Trump has through this whole scenario over the next year. Just listen to the court dates and see if you can see just a clear distinction.
What our viewers to see what the calendar looks like for Donald Trump politically and legally coming up the new year. Everything you see in blue deals with politics. Everything you see with red deals with the courtroom. So Jack Smith has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to fast track a decision. So here are the dates I'm looking at, right? March 4th is the day before Super Tuesday. March 4th is when the trial is expected to be started. The justices have asked Trump's lawyers to give them an answer by the 20th of December, about 9 days from now. The court will meet again on the 5th of January. What is the question before the court, Professor?
Well, what the special counsel is trying to do is a leapfrog over the D.C. Circuit, which just got this issue of presidential immunity. Normally, the court wants to hear from not one but multiple court of appeals. What Smith is saying is, let's skip that. I need an answer now.
And listen to another lapdog. Here's Andrea Mitchell. I mean, she's old as sin. I don't know how, you know, and she's a plethora of information. She's been through many of presidents. She knows exactly what's going on. She's one of the biggest players in this whole game. And as far as the Council of Foreign Relations go, she's probably like the head fucking honcho. Just like Brazil there. Oh, jeez, I can't think of her name now. She's the head of the Donna Brazile, the head of the DNC, former head of DNC. She loves Joe Biden, okay? And she's never going to say anything bad about him. So now you can see that a lot of these people, even if you watch her on Sunday morning with George Stephanopoulos, which is another one just totally avoiding facts. These people like to avoid facts. And if I'm saying it, somebody that hasn't graduated high school, you're avoiding fucking facts. You are avoiding the freaking facts. I mean, come on, people. You can't. Well, just listen. Let me play the clip.
Oh, this is for the first time I mean wrote a book, but this was really an extraordinary statement today. What's the reaction from Republicans, James Comer, Jim Jordan, to the fact that he's ignoring a subpoena? By the way, Jim Jordan ignored a subpoena. He was, you know, in contempt, really, of Congress for refusing to testify. Do Republicans have the votes, though, for this impeachment inquiry? We've only heard of one, Ken Buck, saying he wouldn't vote for it.
Karen, why did you do that?
I'm in jail. All right, they are doing that now, and they've been doing that. This man has weathered the storm in a lot of attacks from his opponents. Let's just be fair about it, right? So this guy's like fucking Rocky. Trump's like Rocky, and he's beating the shit out of these guys. So now they go right back to this fear-mongering. And I'll tell you one other thing, which is a lot of people's concerns, Dan Bongino, myself, Howie Carr, you know, and in a lot of other Republican pundits, they're really scared of Trump taking a bullet, of getting shot, and you can see the writing is on the wall, because there is no other way that these people can take this man down. You know, even if he loses his business, and here's the deal with the whole fraud with his businesses and him embellishing, you know, square footage on his properties and whatnot. Everybody does that. Everybody. You don't think you and I would do that? You don't think if you had a 10,000 square foot house, you don't think if you could reach another 20% by putting 1,000 on there, you wouldn't do it? You know, what's the difference between 50 feet and 100 feet? You know what I'm saying? And if they didn't go out and audit Trump for his numbers, what makes you think they're gonna come out and audit you for your 1,200 square foot of fucking apartment? When this guy's got 13,000 square feet, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if they're not coming after him, they're not gonna come after you. So, and that was to acquire a loan, which Trump acquired the loan, and he paid off the loan. So in all in actuality, he did nothing wrong. He embellished a little bit, and so he, just like everybody does, and he got a loan, and he paid off the loan. There was nobody that didn't get paid off. The banks were fine. That's why he has, you know, probably A1 credit. You know, his taxes and all that shit, it's the same tax code that you and I can do. It's nothing different. If you can pay for the money to get the tax people that he's got, then more power to you. You know what I'm saying? But don't hate the man. Hate the game. This is the game, baby. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same game that you can play. Whether you choose to play it or not, that's totally on you. Don't hate the man because he loves money and he's making a lot of it. And you're not, because you don't have a sense of getting money like he does. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's some people are born with that. And you got to understand, his father was a hustler. Anyway, so the Democrats, as they go and try to sink this man, which I think if they try everything and it still comes to be that, you know, all these other financial tactics and, you know, crime tactics to get him out of the race is not working, what they're going to do is they'll try to maybe try to put a bullet in him. But the thing is, there's too many cameras around. There's too many freaking things. But it still can be done. Don't get me wrong. It can still be done. But the Democrats come out with things like a doomsday book. Nobody knew that there was a doomsday book, but the Democrats now say, oh, well, there's a doomsday book that allows the president to assume all these fucking crazy powers, and Trump's going to use it, and he's going to start acting like fucking a complete commie, and, you know, you're all going to be, you know, in the gulag if you don't listen, and if he says jump, and you say, you better say how high, and if you don't, you're going under the fucking, you know, the pavement. You know what I'm saying? It makes no sense. It's just ridiculous. But the one caveat to that is that they released that there's a book like that. There's actually a book like that now that lives and powers exist in that book when it's constituted that it's a doomsday scenario. You know, and I would assume that that's having a, you know, a full frontal assault by, you know, a two-nation state war where they're coming at you like, hey, you know, we're fitting to kill you. You know, we're fitting to take over in America, and you got Russia and China just coming up to your shores like, boom, boom, boom. Like, that's it. Like, you can't pass, you don't got the time to let legislation go through the door. You got to fucking let that rip. You know what I'm saying, Chip? You know what I'm saying? So, be very astute of what's going on and what the Democrats will say, because the farther this goes on, the more shit will come out, because they want that, they don't want that prick in office. Now, when we say this doomsday shit, that's a swinging door. That door swings both ways. That means the Democrats could use the same powers in that book like Trump could use them, but Trump's not going to do that, because that's what constitutes real fucking power. Do you know what I mean? When you have when you have the ability to kill and annihilate countries with one push of a button, and you don't do it, that is real power. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like godly light things. If you think about it in the real sense, do you know what I mean? You literally can push a button and end it. It still doesn't happen, even with the most evilest people on the face of the earth. Why is that? Because for me, if I was in a fight back in the day, there was no rules. Nothing was off limits. I mean, you know how they say women and kids and shit like that. But at the, on a street level, sure, you ain't gonna do that. But when you look at it, when it's a country versus a country, and you see that now with Gaza and Israel, innocent lives are getting killed all the time. Do you know what I mean? But that's it. At the end of the day, that's somebody saying, I'm fitting to exterminate you off the face of the earth. I'm fitting to exterminate you off the face of the earth. So it's just a little food for thought. But something might be down the works. You have a lot of companies coming out, the bunkers that they sell. You have the WISE, listen to these companies with MREs for you to eat, and I'm like, how's the company stay in business? You know what I mean? And what they're gonna do is like have you regulate the food. Oh, it's 3 months now. You might want to change over your your stockpile of fucking flaky potatoes. You know, and I'm sitting there, what is the difference between the potatoes that they're selling and their little MRE plastic? It's a what do you call those things? Label, white label. To me, it's like a white label company. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't get into that. I don't get into buying that. I do have one stash. I did do my one stash of rations. And trust me, it's nothing big. Like, I have, what is it? I think I had like a couple cans of, beans and, a couple cans of beans and a couple cans of raviolis, along with a can of butter and some like a Rambo knife. And so I encased it in everything I could, you know what I'm saying? And And all I did was just, because it's a steel container, you know what I mean? So I put it in one of those and just put a couple bags around it and Ziploc bags and just stuck it in the ground. Sucked all the air out and just stuck it in the ground. Wiped urine, I know it's kind of sounds like it's disgusting, but I fucking wiped urine in on top of the box, wiped it all around with urine, dropped in my stuff, and then and buried it, pissed on the fucking top of it. And that was that, and just left it there. And I got a little marking so I know that it's some GPS coordinates and a phone. And to me, it's smarter just to have like little spots that have little bits of rations to where a trail that leads to your first spot that you got, And I believe in just having multi spots, And if you could, have them all over the fucking country. So this way here, because you don't know where the attack's gonna come from. You don't know how it's gonna come, what form, what shape, what time. So you want to have you would like to have a lot of spots all over the country. So this way here, wherever you're at, you can go to the closest one in that moment of time. I don't know if that makes any sense, but to me it does. it's like with everything, you got to take it with a grain of salt. Everybody's in a business to make money. They wouldn't be in a business to not make money, and they wouldn't be in a business just to solely help you and the American people and not turn a profit, So I'm sure that food will expire at some point, and it's not as longevity. It doesn't have the longevity to say a military MRE again, because that's because it's a fucking business. But do it as what you may. But I believe in just having a few spots around to get you to your first locale. You know what I mean? Please, one thing, do not tell anybody what you're doing or where you have it. I know I tell you guys, but, of course I have one. Listen, it's all about redirection, okay? If you want to go north, you tell them you're going south and then you go north. You know what I mean? It's like everything, You got to really, really think out your plans and figure out what you're doing. I have a group that are, not a group, say, I mean, I have like a couple of friends that I'm kind of linked up with, and, there's a plan that we have, but I have my own solo plan too. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel that, like, these people that have these bunkers in like North Dakota, first off, you're making you're on National Geographic. You're telling everybody, hey, yeah, you can buy these fucking bunkers. We're going to have a community. Okay, so now you can go buy these bunkers and right next to other people. So I says, well, wow, that's cool, I says, that's a fucking graveyard, And he goes, why? And I says, first off, it's all cool and it sounds kumbaya-ish because everybody's living in this community, but everybody's not going to have the same money, right? Everybody doesn't have the same type of income level. So this hangar, this little bunker is more stocked than mine. So once I run out of my food, I'm going to his fucking bunker. So what happens is they're going to just eat each other is what's going to happen. And, not only that, they know exactly the location to these bunkers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in the silos that they're hiding in and shit, like, they're all fucking decommissioned military places. So if you, I mean, it's elementary. If you just, little process of elimination, look at some maps, the satellites, see over the course of time how the terrain has worn out and what has been built and all the tire tracks that's left from big machinery coming in and out. It's not hard, especially when you're out in Colorado, which is mostly flat fucking land, flat land, except for the Rockies. And who's gonna be up there, right? And that's probably the best place to go is the fucking mountains. So I just find those bunker things to be just a straight marketing move. Nobody's really caring about each other. Nobody's thinking. They just think, oh yeah, everybody around me is going to have exactly the same amount of food, the same amount of guns, the same amount of this. No, they're not. And you don't think half the world's going to descend on those places knowing you people are stocked with extra freaking things? You know what I mean? You don't think like half of America's checking out like decommissioned sites and saying, okay, well, I'm going to hit these places because more than likely there's going to be some people there where I can get some kind of, you know, help or food, maybe even be able to barter for a vehicle of some sort, some kind of transportation. So you really got to, you know, think. But again, the Democrats are going to release a lot of stuff. And they do it purposely to sink their opposition, but they don't know that they're letting out all this type of stuff that makes the country go, what? What is that again? Never mind about, you know, Trump and, you know, thinking. Yeah, listen, there's too many safeguards for an American president to just do that. There's too many. Listen, I have to believe that there's more heroes than bad guys in this world. So, for me, it's plain and simple just to fucking say, hey, look, there's too many safeguards in this country. It, you know, if you want a lot, like I said, you know, you can push a button. Well, that button has to be turnkeyed simultaneously by two people that have a key that, you know what I'm saying, that have to agree on it and shit like that. There's a few safeguards. And then, you know, it's not like somebody could just wake up in the middle of the night and say, you know, hey, fuck it, I'm just gonna let this fucking rip, you know. It's not how it's gonna go. Come on, bud. Because they think it's going to help their chances in the long run, which it ends up backfiring in some way, shape, or form. You know, look, guys, at the end of the day, there's always a good guy out there. And I, like I said, I got to feel like there's more good guys out there than bad guys. And so I just want you guys to step back and see how, you know, out of all the stuff that we went through, how, you know, there's the status quo, somebody up interrupted and disrupted the status quo. Now they want to, you know, do everything to that one thing that disrupted everything and get it out of the way. They can't seem to. They're trying everything in their power. They're using the media, they're using hierarchy people, courts, social economic events, maybe a false flag here and there, everything to try to get this disruptor out of here. Now, if they were only smart, they would have just let him have his 8 years and get him the hell out of here, and they wouldn't have to see him again. But the more they try to beat him at this game, the longer they kind of, it's like a self-inflicted wound. You don't think he would try one more time after this, 4 more years? I know he'd be old, but you know, he could give it a whirl, and it is Trump. So it's, the Democrats know it's kind of like a now and never situation. If they can block him here, they might block him forever. And if they don't block him here, they know that they got a huge crack in the fabric, and it's drawing a real big distinction in the line, and drawing a big distinction in a contrast, like a line in the sand. And you're starting to see even the old Rhino Republicans, and how the Republicans have a fracture inside there. And that's because you have people that think like Trump now assuming these seats, and the old rhinos don't like that. Okay, so and it's only going to be a matter of time before, you know, Father Time kicks in and gets these people out. I mean, if you see Senator Feinstein, look at Bill Menendez and all his corrupt. Senator Feinstein, she had to get out. You know, they're getting old, and it's time for new blood to get in there. And you could start to see that, especially with Mitch McConnell. It's time for him to go. Do you know what I mean? Let's get the new blood in there. Let's give that a couple decades, see where it goes. You know, and at the end of the day, it's fucking common sense. sense. Common sense, people. You know what I mean? So I'm champion for common sense. Anything that moves this country along, whether it's against my, whether it be against one of my ideas that I put forth or not, it doesn't really freaking matter. As long as you and I and the American people prosper in the pursuit of happiness in our country, in our land that is free, that we love, that we know, regardless if we protest against some things that we don't like going out there, sure, go out and protest, but at the end of the day, there is no other soil on God's green earth that you'd rather be than the America, than the United States of America. Sure, there's other countries, don't get me wrong. I'm just sustaining, you know, the pride of my country, you know what I mean? So anyway, guys, I love yous. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Catch you on the flip page. Peace.